If you've been with us the past several weeks, we've been learning, hopefully and prayerfully, a lot about the gospel, which is the good news centered around Jesus. And so we're going to do a quick recap this morning of some of the discoveries we've made in Scripture. And if you're joining us for the first time, we'll help us get you up to speed this morning. And so as we've looked at the gospel, what it means to be the good news, we have seen that through faith in Jesus, which is based on historically verifiable facts of his perfect life, his sacrificial death, and his victorious resurrection, that through that, believers are justified, they are declared righteous with God, they are saved from their sin, they have been adopted into the family of God, and they are being sanctified, made holy by his Spirit. We've discovered that the gospel has both a zoom lens and a wide lens. The snapshot image of the gospel is the cross, where God's work of salvation culminates. The wide lens of the gospel runs the gamut of human history, God's plan of salvation determined before the creation of the world. God initiated this plan at creation, but then there was the fall of humanity. But then there was a promise given to Abraham. And then Jesus comes, the fulfillment of that promise. Jesus then establishes his church. And then at some point in the future, Jesus will return. Every human being plays a role in that overarching story of God and is ultimately on one of two paths. An individual either seeks glory for him or herself, or an individual seeks to bring glory to God. The selfish path leads to destruction, while the path of Jesus leads to reconciliation with God and life with him forever. Eternal life starting now and lasting forever. And one of the ways that followers of Jesus bring glory to God is by listening to the stories that other people have and then helping them see how their story fits into God's story. Believers, they should be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have in Christ that is also matched by a godly life. Because the more we understand and believe how great and good and glorious and gracious God is, the more we live for him and then encourage others to do the same. We've seen that God's unequaled qualities are revealed in the powerful gospel, the gospel that has saved believers from the penalty of sin. The gospel that is saving us from the power of sin, and one day the gospel that will save us from the presence of sin. The powerful gospel is also a purposeful gospel. God committing to his people the message and the ministry of reconciliation as his ambassadors. Believers commissioned to make disciples of Jesus in every nation, under his authority and with his presence. We've seen that God's plan to reconcile the world to himself involves people that he has already reconciled. That is, God uses his people, the church, to help reconcile others to him. And we've seen that believers in Christ can be described as a family of servant missionaries. Christians have been adopted by the Father, ransomed by the Son, and sent by the Spirit to show and to share the gospel. Again, the gospel, the good news centered around Jesus. And all of that is good news. It's the multifaceted, incomparable diamond that we call the gospel. Yet for many of us, including myself, we feel this tension between living on mission for Jesus while also living in the world. We struggle with what it means to be in the world, but not of the world, as Jesus described it in John chapter 17. We struggle to live as the family of servant missionaries that God has called us to be. It's a challenge for us. Now, one of the reasons we have this struggle, and one mistake we can make, is that sometimes we can divide life into two halves. One half being the sacred half, and the other half being the secular half. And so at times we can think that on one hand we do sacred activities, both private and public. We might do those sacred things like reading our Bibles and praying, going to church or serving at church. And we see that as the sacred half of our life. But on the other hand, then we have this other half, we have the secular half of our life. And there we might put into there, we put in things like work and family and being involved in the community or our leisure activities. And we can see these two different halves of life, and we don't see at times how they go together. But this mistake can also then lead to another misconception, another mistake, in thinking that in order, if we're going to then decide, hey, I want to be more spiritual, I want to be more godly, then we can think that we have to do less of the secular, right? We only have 100% of this half of our life. And so if we're going to be more godly, more, you know, sacred, more spiritual, we have to take out some of the secular. And so we might see people replacing more church activity in order to be more sacred, more spiritual, and having to maybe take out some leisure time. Maybe we know people who are at church all of the time. And that's a good thing. Serving at church is a wonderful thing. It's something that we need to do. But sometimes we can be at church so often, so much, that we have no touch and no relationships with those that are outside of the church. We can be so involved at church that we lose touch with those who aren't connected, and we lose some of our mission. But there's good news again, in that there's a solution to that. And it starts with our thinking. And so the solution to this problem is shifting from thinking additional to thinking intentional. So instead of thinking of the gospel and the Christian life as one slice in the pie of life, we need to think of the gospel and the Christian life as the hub in the wheel of life that touches and influences every other area of the life. The gospel is not one slice of the pie. It's at the hub, it's at the center, and it affects every area of life. And so we need to get in the habit of letting the sacred influence the secular. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, the Apostle Paul, he writes there, says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And so we let the sacred influence the secular at home and at work and at church and with our friends in all that we do, whether in word or deed. We do it in the name of Jesus. And we let the gospel influence every area of our lives. Now this morning I want to suggest six rhythms of life, six activities that can help us as believers engage in our identity as a family of servant missionaries. Six activities that will help us to be in the world, but not of the world. And there's more good news. I can guarantee that you are already practicing at least one of these activities. You're already doing one. So, you know, a little hand clap out to you. And you're probably doing more than one. But we're going to find that the more intentional we are, the more opportunities we will have to fulfill our mission as ambassadors. Over in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, again the Apostle Paul, he writes there, he says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." In other words, Paul is saying here, live intentionally. He says, be wise, not unwise, in how you live. Make the most of every opportunity. And so we're going to look at these six rhythms of the gospel that will help us to be more intentional. Again, some of these things we're already doing, we just can be more intentional with them. And so like we did with the story of God, we're going to summarize these six gospel rhythms with six words. All right, so I'd encourage you, write these six words down. Keep them somewhere. Maybe go back to them, reflect on them this week, and then see how we can be more intentional with these things. Okay? So the first gospel rhythm we're going to look at is the one, it's story. All right? The story. And so we need to regularly immerse ourselves in the story of God, which is revealed in Scripture. Right? Here's the story of God. It's in the Bible. And we need to immerse ourselves in that. We need to read it. We need to engage with it. Because the more we understand God's story, the more we understand our own stories and the stories of other people and how they intersect with God's story. We need to be in God's Word. We need to be reading God's story. What He's done in all those different phases, in creation, in the fall, the promise, Jesus, the church, and someday His return. We need to be engaged with that. We need to rehearse it. We need to tell it to ourselves. We also, at the same time, we need to learn the stories of the people that are in our lives. People that God has placed around us. Do we know their stories? Perhaps for those people that we know well, we need to know what's going on in their lives. What are some current circumstances, current things they're going through? How is God at work in their lives? Perhaps there are people that we come across that we don't know as well. For them, we need to maybe find out about their past. Find out how they got to where they are. And try to figure out where do they fit in God's story. Are they connected to God? Are they far from God? Or maybe they are connected, but they're struggling with something. Or maybe things are going well for them. We need to learn the stories of other people. And as we do that, as we interact with God's story, we're spending time in His Word, and we're interacting with other people and their stories, we can more easily make spiritual connections. Those things will be on our mind. We can, as we're reading about them and as we're talking with people, we can share God's story and how that all fits together. Of course, we need to lean on the Holy Spirit, and we can also ask insightful questions as we seek to find the story out of other people. So the second gospel rhythm after story is listen. Now this is included under story as we listen to the stories of other people. But we want to add here, we're listening to God as we interact with His Word. And so we want to be listening to what God is saying to us through His Spirit. One way we can listen to God is in a sense to listen backwards. And we listen backwards as we read God's Word from the past. Right? God's Word written in the past, but we can learn from it as we read it. And on the other hand, we can also listen forward by hearing what God is saying to us and hear what it means for us today through His Spirit and what He wants us to do in light of that. God also speaks to us through His church and even through our own circumstances. But sometimes we need to stop always voicing our agenda to God when we go to Him in prayer. You know, we come to God with our list and say, here's this, 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 and this. Sometimes, and that's great to do that. We can do that for sure. But also we need to stop and listen to God and hear what is He saying to us? What would He have us do? What does he want us to be? Maybe there's someone in our lives that we can share something with. We look back to Jesus during his public ministry. Jesus often withdrew to connect with and to hear from the Father. Jesus needed those moments to connect with God, to hear from him as he went along doing his ministry. And I know if Jesus needs it, I know I definitely need it. And probably you too. But we need to be listening. The third rhythm we need to be involved in, we need to celebrate. We need to celebrate what God is doing and what God has done. Christians should be the most joyful people in the world. We have salvation, we have hope, we have fulfillment in what Jesus has done. And so we should be expressing that joy and celebrating what God has done and what he is doing. When we get with other believers, we can celebrate who God is. We can celebrate what he's done and what he is actively doing. And that celebration can happen anywhere. It doesn't just happen here at church. It happens over coffee. It happens during lunch. It happens at the water cooler at work as we share God's story of what he's doing. And again, it's with believers, and it can also be with unbelievers, sharing what God is doing in our lives. Now, of course, Sunday mornings are a great time to gather to celebrate as well. We gather publicly to celebrate God and his work through fellowship, being with one another, through music, through giving, and through the preaching of God's word and then putting it into practice. And as we celebrate together, we remember what God has done. We celebrate what he's doing. And we can also invite unbelievers to the celebration, that they might get a taste, a glimpse of what it means to live life with Jesus. So this morning, as we think about celebrating, just a kind of an application question for each of us to evaluate, and think about being here on Sunday morning. Do we approach Sunday morning as a celebration? Do we come each Sunday ready to celebrate? Or do we treat it more as an obligation or an expectation to check off the list for the week? And we can also ask ourselves, do we celebrate throughout the week? Or is our celebration limited to Sunday mornings? We should be celebrating God's work all the time, not just when we gather here at church. But we celebrate who he is and what he's done. The fourth gospel rhythm is to bless. We've seen that the gospel announces that all nations are blessed through Jesus. As his family of servant missionaries, believers can bless others. We can bless others with our words. We can bless them with gifts. We can bless them with actions, serving them. There are so many ways that we can bless other people in our lives. Again, people we know, maybe people we don't know. But how can we go around blessing others? Because we have been blessed in order to bless others. And as we listen to God's Spirit, which we mentioned earlier, he will direct us more specifically. He'll show us what that looks like in our lives. It might mean blessing another believer. It might mean blessing an unbeliever. It might be blessing a stranger. But God will show us as we listen. Over in Galatians chapter 6, there the Apostle Paul writes this in verse 10. It says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." There again, he uses that word opportunity as he does in Ephesians chapter 5. Make the most of every opportunity. As we have opportunity, do good to all people. Unbeliever, believer. And then he says at the end, you know, especially to those who belong to the family. Right? Again, Jesus said his followers would be known by their love for one another. And as people see that in the community, they're drawn to that. And so we want to bless people. The fifth gospel rhythm is eating. All right, now I know some of you are really on board. We're going to talk about eating here, right? Or perhaps you're already thinking about lunch. All right, but eat. Now remember, These rhythms, these activities are intentional, right? So we're trying to be intentional with them. So how can we intentionally eat? Well, here's the idea. Remember that meals are often shared together. You know, there are times you eat alone by yourself, but a lot of times we're eating meals with other people. Maybe it's over at the family dinner table. It might be lunch with coworkers. You know, but we're often eating together. And so it becomes a shared experience. And one way that we can celebrate what God has done in eating is we can remember that meals are a reminder of our physical needs and God's faithfulness to those needs. We are also be reminded of God's faithfulness to spiritual needs, God meeting every need that we have. But just think about it, you know, three times a day, you're having your breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you have an opportunity to thank God for his faithfulness, to thank God for his provision. And perhaps there might be times when you're sharing a meal with an unbeliever, and maybe a quick word of prayer might lead to a conversation. Now, you don't have to be weird or strange about it, but that might be an opportunity that God might lead you to, just a simple prayer before your meal. You might ask, hey, do you mind if I, you know, pray before this meal? It might lead to something. Who knows? But as we share those experiences, we share meals with other people, they also become opportunities to bless others. They become opportunities to celebrate what God is doing. They're opportunities to listen to other people and what's going on in life. And they're opportunities to share stories about what's going on in your life and what God is doing. And we can do that around the table. So eating can actually include some of these other rhythms. And it's something we do on a regular basis with other people. In fact, if you go back to the Gospels and you look at the ministry of Jesus, many of his interactions were shared during a meal around a table. And you see Jesus using that as an opportunity to do ministry. And so we have that opportunity as well. Again, being intentional with that. And so we might ask ourselves, is there someone that God is leading us to maybe share a meal with? Perhaps another, a believer that needs some encouragement, or maybe an unbeliever that we know. But it's taking this thing that we do regularly and being intentional about it. The sixth and final gospel rhythm this morning is to recreate. It's to take time to rest, take time to play, and even to create beauty in ways that display the gospel and the glory of God. Now, oftentimes when we talk about being on mission with God, we always think about going and doing stuff, and we need to do that, right? We're on mission. We're ambassadors. We're working for the Lord. But we also need to take time to rest. We need to take time to play and relax. And as believers, we can be people that enjoy God's creation. We can enjoy nature. We can enjoy the people that God has created and placed in our lives. We can enjoy the culture around us that is God-honoring. We can celebrate that. We can enjoy the inventions and the technology that we have discovered. Again, those things that are God-honoring. But we can take time and relax and play and create in this wonderful creation that God has given us. And so, you know, a lot of times we're, you know, we push and we go and all those things, and that's good. But there are times we need to take a break. There are times that we can just take a nap, and it's okay. As we do that, as we can rest in the fact that Jesus has completed his work on our behalf. And Jesus is holding everything together. The world will not fall apart if you doze off for a few minutes. It will still be it all together when you wake up. An author named Michael Whitmer writes this. He writes this. He says, God's sovereign grace compels me to evangelize because I know God may use my words to bring sinners to himself. Right? We're on mission. We're called to make disciples. We're called to share the gospel. Then he goes on. He says, God's sovereign grace also frees me to play, exercise, and sleep, because I know the success of the gospel does not ultimately depend on me. And then he goes on to say, he says, do whatever God is calling you to do, no more and no less. Do it with all your might, then go to bed. Relax, right? We want to recreate. We can enjoy what God has given us. And we can also be on mission, and we can do it all at the same time. In fact, in the book that Michael Whitmer wrote, it's called Worldly Saints, and it's been incredibly helpful to me to help balance that. And the premise of his book is that you can serve Jesus and enjoy your life. You can do both of those at the same time. You don't have to sacrifice one for the other. But as we're more intentional to some of the things that we're already doing, we can serve Jesus and we can enjoy life at the same time. And we see that the key to gospel living is not adding sacred and spiritual activities and removing secular ones. The key is to be intentional in what we're already doing. Again, Jesus says, prays of his disciples and says that they are in the world, but not of the world. We're not called to go, you know, to be hermits just off by ourselves. We're called to be in the world, but not to be of it. And we can influence others as we seek to be more intentional. Now, we've seen that we should be doing some sacred and spiritual things, right? We should be immersed in God's word. We should be in prayer. We should be gathering together as the church. We need to do those things. But some of the things, we need to combine that with what we're doing in our families and at work, in our community, when we're out having fun. How can we be intentional? And so this morning, as we think about that, as we evaluate our lives in the light of these six gospel rhythms, maybe to look at that list and ask yourself, you know, am I doing well? And which of these am I doing well? Which of these come easier to me? And to, you know, celebrate that. And then to look at that list and say, which ones do I struggle with? Where do I have a hard time kind of combining both the sacred and the secular? And maybe to think about, you know, what are some steps that I could take to be more intentional? In celebrating or blessing, eating, listening, the story, recreating, all those things. How could I be more intentional? And as we do that, we want to ask God for wisdom and strength. Because as we've seen, the gospel transforms every area of our lives every day. The gospel is the hub of life that touches everything around it. It's not just one slice of the pie. And so I encourage you to take this list and see, how can you be more intentional? Or maybe to keep doing well in those areas that you're doing well. Or maybe to think about, what are some steps I might take if I've got something else, you know, that I might be able to work on? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for your creation. We thank you for this world that you have given us, that you have placed us in. As we look around and we see your wonderful creation, we see the beauty of what you have made. And Father, we want to celebrate that. We want to remember that. Lord, we know that it's been marred and stained by sin, but we know it is your creation and you are still sustaining it. Father, I pray that you'd help us to celebrate and to rest and to play in your wonderful creation, that we would recreate in that. And Lord, as we look at these gospel rhythms, that again, some of the things that we're already doing, but that we might just be able to combine our spiritual lives and our secular lives in the places that you have put us. That we would be immersing ourselves in your story and in the story of others and listening and seeing how those fit and sharing a word or serving someone in a specific way that you call us to bless them. That we would celebrate, God, who you are and what you've done. We celebrate with other believers or even telling unbelievers what you're doing in our lives. Father, as we eat together and we remember the provision that you provide for us each time we do that, that we would be intentional in sharing stories and listening and blessing others as we share a meal with them. Again, maybe it's with an unbeliever, sharing the good news, or with another believer, encouraging them. But Father, as we look at that, we see that you are involved in every area of our life. You are Lord of it all. And I pray that you would just help us to see how those things are integrated, both the spiritual and the secular. And I pray that we would, again, be transformed by the gospel that transforms every area of our lives every day. As we go from this place throughout the week, may we be the good news that you have created us to be. May we live intentionally. May we live wise lives. And may we live them according to your will and for your glory. We thank you, Father, for what you've done. We thank you for sending your Son. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen.